I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest, building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break.
Let's be honest, building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving, it's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created the Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it. And they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Oh, here we go in the case against Karen Reed. First time we've talked now, Bob, since the trial has begun. And I'm just going to open it right up to you. What has been, first standout moment for you? And then we'll kind of take it back to the start and openings. But overall, thus far, what's been standing out to you?
You got to go to the openings. I thought the openings were effective for both parties. I thought you could see right away Brennan's going to try an entirely different case than Lally did. And, you know, he went through his entire theory of the case in a very calm, rational way in terms of laying out the facts. He didn't have to, he had it all committed to memory. I thought he gave a strong opening, you know, and I thought that Jackson was brilliant. You know, I just did, you know, and like I'm biased. I'm a defense attorney guy. So, you know, like I get, I'll get like a law hard on when I'm like watching a lawyer give like a great opening. And I thought Jackson knocked that out of the park.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not both of these guys are going to be able to deliver on everything that they promised. That's what we watched the trial for, you know, because ultimately you have to concern yourself with that. When you build expectations, in opening arguments or opening statements, the jury is going to, hold on, I got to lose that pod. The jury, when you have, you know, when you have opening statements go down and you make promises to jurors, it is going to set an expectation with those jurors.
Sure.
And they're going to expect to hear and or see the evidence that you discussed in your opening. And, you know, I mean, Jackson made some big claims. Mm-hmm. You know, we heard of some new evidence potentially, you know, this five individuals' DNA on the shoe. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear about that there's eyewitness testimony that saw John go into the house. I mean, who can that be other than Karen? Unless they've dug somebody up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and you know, the phone temperature is fascinating concept.
Yes.
To me.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are big promises made in openings. And I think the jury's going to want to see if he's going to be able to deliver. And, you know, the same with Brennan.
Sure.
You know, and you see Brennan has tightened it up. Brennan got rid of the concept that this was intentional, that this was a rage killing. He got rid of that. He made the case smaller, which is better for the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like that thing that I was always talking about. I still think that you kind of have a dilemma with the second degree murder and the manslaughter in that you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth, but he made it way more palatable for a jury because the second degree murder, when they were trying to sell the intention that she intended to do it, listen to all these rage filled voicemails, the whole Aruba trip, he got rid of that. Mm-hmm. You know, he got rid of it completely. So he made the case easier for the jury to digest. And he made those two charges a bit more compatible than I think that they were had they stuck to that other theory that Lally put forward.
Even though those are still the charges, second degree murder is certainly there. Do you think Brennan's even going for them at all? Or is he shooting for manslaughter at the very best? And like you said, he's making it simple. He really is. They're talking about, you know, maybe the kind of sideswiped or kind of nicked or however they put it. They didn't put it as like she ran him over with vengeance. It was, you know, maybe something happened here. Is that what he's going for? And how common is that for the prosecution to not really go after what the main charges are in the case and kind of go for lesser charges because those are a hell of a lot likely more provable than the higher charges?
It's super common.
Okay.
It's very, very common. You know, they'll typically have the lesser includeds in there. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely think he's going for the second degree, but it's under a different theory. Mm-hmm. The theory being that she was aware that she clipped him.
Mm.
Okay. That she left him there. That's how he gets the second degree. It's the indifference aspect of it. It's different than her intentionally plowing him down. It's that she clipped him. He's going to, you know, and I thought that like harkening back to the openings when Brennan used the mortally wounded clip and then, you know, Jackson addressed it. He's like, well, that wasn't her talking about when she struck John. That was when she got to the body. So, I mean, Jackson addressed that right away.
But it's not.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the thing on that one. Like, it's like right after it, Dennis Murphy's like, so you're talking about like when you left him that night at the house. Yeah. She wasn't talking about the morning. Clearly, she was not talking about the morning.
And that's going to be a hill that Alan Jackson's going to have to climb.
Yeah.
All of these clips are going to be hills that they have to climb. They made so much work for themselves, having to try to put these things into context, having to talk them back. And I think ultimately, in my opinion, I think they're going to force Karen Reed to the stand.
Yeah. That would be very interesting. But I think we're seeing how they're getting these clips in now. And it's making a lot of sense. It's like now every single witness is being accented with a clip.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh shit. There's a lot out there. I mean, the defense has to know all of the clips that are out there and everything 100%. That could be pulled. So how difficult is it for them to be presenting their case when, I mean, the roads they go down then almost immediately get countered by Karen saying something stupid that undermines the point of what they're doing? Are they just kind of hoping that maybe the clips don't stick as well and as court testimony does? I'm curious. And the fact that these are all coming in the first half of this. So you're going to have some moments here where the jury, that'll be a little bit further back in their memory.
Yeah. And it's, again, Brennan's trying a much different case, right? I mm-hmm. mean, we were 2 weeks in before Lally even started trying to prove up a case at all. I remember you and I are like, mm-hmm. are they ever going to start trying to prove that Karen did this? Mm-hmm. Like, for 2 weeks, we were saying that. 3 weeks, yeah. maybe. Like, when is yeah. he going to start trying to prove up his case?
Yeah.
Brennan came out of the gate trying to prove it up, and he's putting the witnesses on. So as far as the defense being able to try to maneuver around these things, it doesn't change their case mm-hmm. at all. In terms of, it leans more into the case that I've been kind of yelling from the rooftops mm-hmm. that they should be trying, is just use the scientific evidence. Yeah. Like, what's clear is Karen Reed doesn't know a goddamn thing that happened that night. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for whatever she's saying, mm-hmm. it's not based on an actual memory. It's her speculating because she doesn't have a yeah. clear memory of it because of her intoxication level. So, you know, if you're the defense, you just lean into that and say, like, she doesn't know. Like, they played a clip today talking about her intoxication level. She says, I wouldn't have driven on the expressway, mm-hmm. you know, but the roads were quiet. You know, I felt like I had it. So, I mean, clearly she does not have a firm grasp of what happened that evening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way that you address her fervent, you know, statements like, I did not hit John O'Keefe, that come after the fact, is that she's looked at the evidence. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, now she has the opportunity. At the time when she's running around panicked, screaming and yelling and wondering and thinking out loud, everything that all normal people would do.
Sure.
If they just discovered somebody that they love dead on
yeah.
the lawn.
Yeah.
All of us would be doing that. And anybody who says that they wouldn't is full of shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just not how human beings operate unless you just don't give a shit about that person at all.
Yeah.
You know, if it's somebody that you care about, that you spent, you know, a portion of your life with, you're going to be distraught.
I'd be in a psych hold too.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dude, are you kidding me? Yeah. So, you know, like they're going to be able to address them in terms of like leaning into the science, because to me, none of what she says offsets the fact that they're going to be able to put two witnesses on that are going to say, look, this damage could not have been done by a vehicle pedestrian strike. And John O'Keefe's injuries do not in any way, shape, or form appear to be indicative of him being struck by a motor vehicle. I mean, to me, that's the beginning and the end of the case. Everything else is noise. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. Okay. So, you know, I mean, this could be a brilliant move by Brennan in terms of, all right, how are they going to make the, it was inside, it happened inside. How are they going to make that coincide with her statements now? Mm-hmm. And maybe that gets them to back off of it. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jackson sold a lot of it in the opening statement. So I think they're still going to stick with it. And like you said, they're not surprised by any of the clips.
No.
You know, these are all seasoned attorneys and litigators. They're going to deal with them. You know, how they're going to do it is yet to be seen. But, you know, it's just one of those cases where, you know, we're probably never going to know what actually happened that night. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always kind of been real big on the, like, Hank's got the concept that I have that he slipped and cracked his head on the concrete. I'm just taking out the part where he got hit by the vehicle when it happened.
Sure.
You know, that's what caused the injury. It's the same concept for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I get a lot of pushback. Oh, what about the scratches on the arms? I'm like, all right, dude, coyote. I don't care if you like it or not.
I
don't have to prove it.
I'm going to, yeah, I'm very much on the same page with you on that. I don't know if she struck him. Could she have? Certainly. I think that could be a possibility. And if she struck at just the right weird angle, you may not necessarily have bodily injury here or there. And if he's out of it. He's crawling on the ground. I think that explains a lot of the injuries, because they still can't really prove their bite marks yet. It seems plausible to me that either he slipped and fell, or she struck him, or a combination of both.
See, that's reasonable doubt, dude.
I know,
what
exactly.
You just described it is reasonable
exactly,
doubt.
Exactly. It is reasonable doubt. And that's my point. I've been saying it for a while. I don't think that she should be convicted on this, because we just don't know. And when you don't have the facts, you can't make that sort of decision.
Right. You've got to like lean into a situation where it could have happened that she got struck in some weird way by the vehicle. That's just not enough in this country to put somebody in prison on. It's just not like I'm sad for the O'Keefe family if that is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, but I like in terms of the manslaughter charge, that's the only thing that fits that scenario. Like, I don't think that there's a world that exists that she purposefully left him there knowing that she hit him.
Yeah.
You know, like her puking things out the next day, like to me goes to the opposite of consciousness of guilt. Yeah. Like if she knew she hit him, she would never be saying that shit. She would be sitting there quiet as a church mouse.
Yeah.
When she's running around saying all those things, to me, it proves the exact opposite, that she knew she struck him and left him there purposely. So to me, this thing has always lived in the world of manslaughter where she went in reverse at 24 miles an hour and unwittingly struck him and left the scene without realizing that she struck him. That, like, that's the only thing that they could ever get her on. I just don't think that they're going to be able to meet that burden.
And I mean, is that enough? If we took the crookedness of the cops out of all of this, and it were, let's just say they're good, and obviously we didn't have a great batch here. If you got his hair on the taillight, you have pieces of the taillight there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest, building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're here from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to The Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to The Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.